Okay, so essentially the Shulchan Aruch and the Halacha lays out six levels of illnesses on Shabbos. We'll go from the most chamor to the least chamor, and we'll stick tonight on the issues of the least chamor. Obviously, the worst is a chol sheish or sakana. Any possibility, even a remote chance of pikuach nefesh. The Shulchan Aruch and Shin Lamed says in this case, also including this is a woman who's recently given birth. We consider it a chol sheish or sakana as well. So we know the Shulchan Aruch says that you can take care of the issues as soon as possible, even a malacha d'oraisa. Then there's a machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, the way that you should have a try. A guy do it is not. Perhaps we'll discuss them and get to pikuach nefesh. And then the issue of using a shinoi, if one should use a shinoi, also in the case of pikuach nefesh, we'll discuss. Perhaps that another time. The second level down of issues on Shabbos, sakanas aver, any person who's in danger of losing a limb, but also, as the poskim say, bizman hazeh, Rav Nissen Karelis writes this, and the Rav Chaim Noah also says, is that even if you'll lose the normal ability of that aver as well, meaning I'll have my hand, but I won't be able to use it in the normal function, that's also considered sakanas aver for another time as well. And in such a case, a Jew can do any malacha d'rabbanan. Some even say perhaps even all yisurim are allowed for sakanas aver, but for another time. And then a guy can do any malacha for sakanas aver as well. The next down is a chol she'ein bo sakana. This is probably the most common issue that comes up, and that's someone who has to lie down. Generally, we call somebody who's in such pain, so uncomfortable, they'd have to go lie down because of the pain. Or as the Shulchan Aruch calls it, choli b'chol gufo, the entire body is in pain as well. We also label a woman 30 days after birth as a chol she'ein bo sakana. A katan is also in many cases a chol she'ein bo sakana. And anyone who's cold, technically, but we'll have to obviously, you have to discuss more what does that mean, is anybody who's cold. What do we say about a chol she'ein bo sakana? The Mishnah Berurah says you can do any malacha d'rabbanan with the shinoi. And the Shmir Shabbos says if it's not possible and there's no goy, you can do a d'oraisa with the shinoi. A goy can do any malacha for a chol she'ein bo sakana. Any food or drink that acts as a medicine can be taken normally as well. And medicine for a chol she'ein bo sakana is, you have to figure out exactly what that means, but ideally with a shinoi. And if you can't take the medicine with a shinoi, then you can take the medicine straight. Then we come into three categories where it's hard to exactly define exactly what we're talking about. The first three categories had very almost clear definitions of how ill the person is on Shabbos. The fourth category here is a miktsas choli. The person is in pain, but in a specific place. And we'll discuss that a little bit more. In such a case, a Jew cannot do anything, and a goy can do malacha d'rabbanan because shvus to shvus b'makom tsar. Two d'rabbanan is in the place of a person who's in pain. Then there's mitzar harbe. That's also a little ambiguous. A person is in a lot of pain. So the Gemara talks about a person who has a boil, a person who has a thorn, a hangnail, a woman who's uncomfortable from not nursing and needs to relieve the pressure as well. Or a bug sting is also what the Shulchan Aruch labels a mitzar harbe. And the Bir Halacha says that there's room to be lenient for shnei d'rabbanan as well by mitzar harbe in case need. And then the lowest case we'll discuss tonight is michush ba'alma. He feels something, under the weather, not so great, a bit of a headache, but he feels something. And a Jew and a guy may not do anything in such a case for a michush ba'alma. So just regarding michush ba'alma, there is this bit of a stira. The Ramban in the Torah Adam, we know the Ramban wrote this magnificent work, the Torah Adam, which is the foundation for two areas of halacha. One is Refuah B'Shabbos and Bikrucholim, and the other is Avelis. Most of Hilchas Avelis travels through the Torah Adam of the Ramban, and also the Rush at the end of my cousin as well. That's also a foundation for Avelis, but we're trying to avoid that topic tonight. So we want to stick to the Ramban Torah Adam in the Shar HaMichush, and he says you may not perform any Refuah for a Michush Ba'alma. Nothing can be done for somebody who's just not simply feeling well, even through a guy. And this is what the Tshuvas HaRashba says in the Chelek Gimel and his Chedushim and Shabbos Kuf Chavtes, and the Halacha by all the Poskim, the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Chav Ches Aleph, the Magen Avram, the Prima Gadim, Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Iglei Tal, all the Mishabur all say that for a Michash Ba'alma, the person's feeling icky, not so great, so then there's nothing really to do. So in the wonderful Sefer, Refuas Yisrael, which is Rav Yisrael Badner's book on Halacha, on Halacha's Refuah on Shabbos. Anybody have it? Yes? No? Anybody has it?
Is it in English or
It's in English, yeah. With extensive footnotes. So in the first chapter, Rav Badner brings a stira in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Shincha Ches Aleph and the Mishabura say that you can't have a guy perform a Durabanan for Michash Balman Shabbos. The person's not feeling well, you want to go get some medicine from CVS, and the person's, again, it's not a Chol Shem B'Sakana, but whatever, he's not under the weather, it's not enough to ask a guy. But if you look in Shin Zion in Shulchan Aruch, so the Mechaber says you can ask a guy to perform a Malacha Durabanan on Shabbos for a Miktsas Choli. What happened? In one case of Miktsas Choli, you can have a Durabanan, and in the other case of the Michash Ba'alma, you can't. So, for example, the Shulchan Aruch says you can have a guy carry water in a Karmelis, a Rishus HaRabim Durabanan, for someone who's Mitzar. The Beis Yosef says the source of the Rambam, and the Magen Mishnah says that we're not talking about a Choli called Guf, as someone whose body is in pain or Sakana Sever, but rather, you know, Miktsas Tzar. The person's uncomfortable, the person has some sort of pain at the end of the day.
But there's two separate categories. One's a Michash Ba'alma, one's
So what's the difference?
It's not a
Stira, right, but
it's defined with the two different.
Exactly. So what's the difference between the two? So the Machasis HaShekel writes in Shin Chav Ches, that's the commentary on the Magen Avraham, and he says that for a Michash Ba'alma, nothing is allowed, and a Miktsas Choli, Shvus to Shvus is allowed. So this leads to the question, how do you measure a Miktsas Choli versus a Michash Ba'alma? I mean, if you just translate the terms as they were, it would be difficult to, even into English. Miktsas Choli, a little bit sick. Michash Ba'alma, a little bit sick. It's hard to define the terms. So he says, maybe you'll say a Michash is a bruise, a cut, or a blister. A Miktsas Choli is an internal pain that's all over the body. Maybe that's the difference in the two. But he says it can't be, because the source of the Shulchan Aruch is that Shvush to Shvush is Usser, comes from a Tshuvas HaRashba. And the Tshuvas HaRashba interchanges the words Michash and Chola. The Rashba sees no difference in the two terms. I brought out here on the sheet in front of me, but the Rashba says, Chola Shoshe She'em Bo Afilu Sakanas Eiver Vein Alav Kaved Alav Limpola Mishkav Choshesh Ba'alma Huza Afilu Lomar La'akum La'asos Isser. He's Choshesh Ba'alma. You can tell a guy to do an Isser. Bamir Da'akum is a Shvus, and he says that, and he uses the same expression, Sar. So Rabbi Badner makes the following distinction. This is what he says. Rabbi Badner says, Michush Ba'alma, for which we do absolutely nothing, again, just Michush Ba'alma, we do absolutely nothing, can range from not having any Tsar to the stage of right before having the entire body in pain. That's Michush Ba'alma. However, sometimes the Ba'al Michush, the person who's uncomfortable, can have a flare-up of that pain. It can explode and make it worse. So the example he gives is arthritis. A person has arthritis and they suffer with arthritis all the time. They deal with it, it's there, it's constant, it's cumbersome, but at the end of the day, they can still do what they need to do over the course of Yom Shabbos. But sometimes the arthritis flares up and becomes too much pain. So he says that's the difference between Michash Ba'alma and Ksatz Choli. Sometimes the Michash Ba'alma explodes and becomes more than it was beforehand. And he says, in such a case, then you can have a guy do a derabanan, for example, applying medicated cream, obviously in a way that's permissible, that it's not mimareach, spreading on Shabbos is a way to do it, but you can have the guy do it in such a case because we've moved from Michash Ba'alma, but that pain that was already there the whole time has now grown to be something more intense. And you can rely on Shvus to Shvus when his pain reaches the level of Miktsas Choli. At the end of the day, it's hard to have a real Hagdara, but it is important because the Shevet HaLevi says this suffix is very important when you have a doubt of how to judge the person. So the Rav Vosner writes in Chelet Ches and Simon Samach Tes, and he cites the Beis Meir, who allows a Shvus to Shvus even for a Michash Ba'alma. Person has a regular headache, run-of-the-mill headache, and he says you can have a guy take care of it for you if you want on Shabbos, against the Mishabura. And the Rav Vosner says, this is also the opinion of the Lecha Mishnah on the Rambam, who says that only a Malacha Da Reis is Aser for a guy in the case of someone who's uncomfortable, but a guy can violate a Durabanan for Michush Be'ever Echad Afal Pish Embo Sakana. That's what the Magen Mishnah says. Afal Pish Embo Sakana, just his body doesn't feel good. So it seems that there's this Shita of the Bir Hagra as well. So Rav Vosner says, you can't be lenient against the Mishabura. That's for sure. We're not going to go throw the Mishabura out and the Magen Avraham and many Achronim. But he says, if there's a suffix, whether the person is a Miktsas Choli or Michash Ba'alma, because of this, you can always lean towards Miktsas Choli. That's what he says. If you're a person that you're talking to the person on the phone, and the person says, I'm uncomfortable, But is it like flaring up uncomfortable a little bit? So in that's the case, if the person's unsure, you, says Rav Azman, you can push it into the Miksas Choli category and then move to a Darabanan for a guy in such a case.
Used headache as an example.
Yeah.
Might be, based on your definition, your pain, but in a specific place, would that be a Miksas Choli or a Mechish Balma?
I hear.
Because, I mean, it's defined to a...
To a place.
Right.
If that location, I hear. No, 100%.
I was thinking about gout.
Right, like a bad gout.
Yeah, would be a
Miksas
Choli.
Even if it starts in one place, flare.
Right. Yeah, flare. Yeah, exactly. So maybe flare is a good keyword. I hear 100%. Okay.
So who's defining this? The person who's sick? Is he going to a physician?
Yeah, I think the person who's sick is allowed to make the call. Is allowed to describe it to the physician, and the physician can tell him, you know, this is what you're experiencing. This is what the reality is, perhaps in that case. So if that's the case, then let's turn probably to the least popular topic for most people on Shabbos, that is medicines. No one ever wants to hear a shiur about medicines on Shabbos because they don't want to hear that they can't take Advil. So let's talk about medicines for the person who is not yet a Chol Shem B'Sakana. Because we know when it comes to a Chol Shem B'Sakana, the person has to lie down, we begin taking medicines. But let's say the person is, whatever, uncomfortable in some area. Or different types of medicines. What do we say in such a case? So just the basic backgrounds. The Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara in Shabbos and Gimel Amid Beis says we don't take medicines on Shabbos because Gzeir Mishum Shchika Samaman, because they would grind the medicines in the olden days, and we don't want a person to violate Tochin on Shabbos. And Rashi explains that all types of Rafu are Asr Mitzvah Rabbanan, because if we allow Rafu, it will lead people to grind medicines on Shabbos, which is Isser Do Reis of the Rabbim Hilchos Shabbos Perchaf Aleph, and the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Chav Ches says that the taking of medicines on Shabbos is Asr, without any qualification. And the Magen Avraham and Sifkat Lamed Alf and the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Pei Vav explain that people can become overcautious about their health, and they go too far from what's necessary on Shabbos. People are concerned about their health, and they may proceed further than they're supposed to. And that's why we curtail it, to make sure people behave when it comes to Shabbos and someone who is feeling uncomfortable. Comes now the famous question of Kitzos HaShulchan. Kitzos HaShulchan is Rav Chaim Na of measurement fame. But he wrote other things besides a smaller shir than the Chazon Ish. So he wrote the Kitzos HaShulchan, which is an important work on Or HaChaim. So he writes in Kuf Lamed Daled. He says, what's everybody's question? But we don't. We don't grind medicines nowadays. I have Pfizer. I have other companies do that for me. I don't have to take care of those things. So what are we worried about? So the Kitzos HaShulchan gives two answers that he doesn't even like. He gives two answers, and we'll talk about his sheet in a moment. He says, first of all, you need a beis din that's greater than chachma minyan, right? You can't simply uproot a takana that was in the past without a beis din that's greater. He says, we don't have such a beis din, and therefore, that's why the gezeirah stands. This is Rabbi Ribiyat writes as well in his 39 Malachos. And then the Kitzos HaShulchan rejects this. He says, I'll tell you why it's not a good reason. He says, the original gezeirah itself was dictated by the reason of the gezeirah. When the gezeirah is tied to a reason that is dictating to you how the gezeirah should apply, then maybe it can change. The Gemara in Shabbos Kufcha says that a person can soak eye ointment on Erev Shabbos and use them on Shabbos. And Rashi says that when you soak it before Shabbos, it creates a heker. It creates a sign to the user that this is different. Then you're doing it in a permissible way. You're not going to come to grind because you prepared it before Shabbos. So we see from Rashi, says Rav Chaim Na, that within the gzeirah of not taking medicine, they built in loopholes be based on the reason. So if the reason doesn't apply, says the Kitzos HaShulchan, then we have to get rid of the issur on medicines. That's point number one. Then he suggests that because there are places in the world where they do grind medicines, if you go out to the Amazon, you go out to some place where they're still making their own stuff, there's some island somewhere in the world where they're making their own medicine somewhere. So since there is a location in the world that is grinding medicines, therefore the gezeirah should still stand. So he rejects that as well. And he says, there are no real people who do that nowadays. He doesn't think that's a real thing, at least that he's writing this in the 1920s. He says, I don't really think there are people doing that. And he rejects his own svara. And also, according to the Rambam, the gzeira of some among them depends on the minute of the time and place. And if in America we don't grind medicines, so then we don't grind medicines. That's number two. This comes to Tzitz Eliezer in Chela Ches and Simen Tesavav, and he says that nowadays many people use homeopathic remedies that they prepare themselves. And even though they're not grinding, they're preparing medicines themselves. And if you're preparing medicines yourselves, therefore the Isser should still apply. And then the Tzitz Eliezer says that there's other malachos involved. It's not just grinding when you use medicines nowadays. I'm not a pharmacist, but there is, you know, cooking, and there's also lush and kneading things together and mixing and other processes that go on as well. And this is the explanation as well of Nissen Krells and the Chut Shani and Ravoid Bonner as well in the name of Moshe Feinstein. So what do we have? We have this attack on the Yisra of medicines, and then the Tzitz Eliezer coming to defend it. So the Ber Moshe writes, the Deber Tzina Rav writes in Chelek Aleph and Simen Lamed Gimel, and he says the Gzeira stands unchanged nowadays. That's it. We don't take medicines, even though all medicines are soul prepared. There's no reason to be lenient when it comes to medicines on Shabbos nowadays. And this is the Shita of Rabbi Bodner as well. He writes, I'll give you his quote. His quote, I think, is a little far-reaching, but I'll give you his quote anyway. He says, "Achim be'emes lo matzinu svarazu muzkar l'snif l'hatzer." There's no side to be makel because medicines are pre-made nowadays. B'chol ha-poskim shememehem anushosim. From the poskim whose waters we drink, lo b'mishabura, lo b'egros Moshe. However, I don't want to burst Rabbi Bonner's bubble. And as much as we are mechavet the Mishabura and Moshe Feinstein, there are other poskim besides the Mishabura and the Egros Moshe. Namely, many, many poskim rely on the Ketos HaShulchan as a sniff lahakel, need be, if a person wants to take medicine, combined with other things, because his logic seems to make sense.
Doesn't that Ber Moshe also have a truth about akamol? Like, keep people in little dishes, like candy, and they take it, and he allows it for that reason?
Maybe, because, I don't know. I didn't see
that. There's a tshuva that talks about that.
Yeah?
He says, you walk in people's houses, they just take it like it's
candy.
Like we do, like Advil.
Advil, I hear. Right? I hear. So Advil might have another kula as well. We'll get to in a moment. Pain relievers might have another kula. Who says that you can use the Ketos HaShulchan as a sniff l'hakel? Rav Neuvert has a letter in the Kovetz Beis Hillel Chelek Chavav. He says if you have a suffix whether someone is a choshen b'sakana, give him the medicine. You have a suffix. Is this person so bad that he needs to take medicine on Shabbos? If you're not sure, go take the medicine, he says. You can rely on the Ketos HaShulchan. He says, Michush Baal Mano. But if a person is a suffix, you can give it to him. The Shita of the Chalkas Yaakov and Orachayim and Chelek Dal and Chelek Av, Sharmazun Bahalacha, the Tzitz Eliezer, Ravaj Yosef and Halichos Ol and Chelek Dalad, Rabbi Ribiyat 39 Malachos, the Alka Yosef, Ravasha Weiss Minchasasha Chelek Gimel, as well says, if you have a suffix, if the person's a Choshen or Sakana, give them the medicine. That's what he says. Because
it sits himself also, even though he's
yes.
pretty machmer.
100%. Even though he defends the reason.
Right?
Correct. Even though he defends the reason, he says you can use it as a sniff lahakal if need be.
I think Rav Avadya in Chazon Avadya also brings down a hatter.
A hatter. I only saw it in the Halichos Olam.
I think that's where I saw the Ber Moshe
as well. Yeah. Okay.
I remember when I get home, I'll
there you go.
Well, send it to you.
Cross reference. Yeah.
Now we're talking about a new medication, not something that, let's say, someone's on their antihypertensives.
We'll get to that. Okay, we'll get to that. Okay. Is there a difference between Yantif Rishon and Shabbos? Is there a difference between medicine on Yantif or Shabbos? So for Ashkenazim, there's no difference. It's all the same. This is the sheet of the Magen Avraham and Tafkuf Lamed Beis, the Prima Gadam, the Chayadam, the Kitzel Shulchan Aruch, the Ksav Sofer, the Avnei Nezer, the Mishabura, in two places, the Shevet HaLevi, all the Ashkenazi poskim say Shabbos and Yantif are the same. The Shevet HaLevi cites with Shlomo Kluger in the Sefer HaChaim, who says that because on Yantif we say mitoch, we know we allow one malacha mitoch, that there's a mutter way to do the malacha, he says grinding could be for food. So the Marsham and the Das Torah says that all of the above Acharim disagree. And the Shevet HaLevi says that it must be Gzeira Yantif Atu Shabbos. We have a Gzeira to not take medicine on Yantif because you might come to take it on Shabbos. And similarly, the Gemara in Beitz Yud Ches says we don't do Tefilas Kelim on Yantif, but I can carry the Kli. It's not a fear I'm going to carry the Kli without an Eruv. Why? Because if I carry the Kli on Yantif, I'm going to carry the Kli on Shabbos. So this is the same idea. We don't take medicines even on Yantif Rishon. Now, everybody agrees that you can take medicine on Yantif Sheni. The Ritva writes in Beitza that Kuli Amalo Pligi, Yantif Sheni is already a Dirabanan, and this is a Dirabanan. On top of all other Dirabanans, Yantif Sheni, take medicine to your heart's content. Many people are not aware of this shita, that Yom Tov Sheni is different than Yom Tov Rishon. So it's important people should know that there's no difference between the two.
Regardless of what status.
Yeah, there's no gzeira. Yeah, right. The gzeira falls away. There's no gzeira by Yom Tov Sheni. Mishnah Berurah says this as well in Tov Tzadi Vav. Okay, however, Sfardim can rely on Rav Agi Yosef.
The Rebbe's allowed, the Hasidim, they allow them to leave hospitals on Yom Tov Sheni, right? Yeah. And the taxi with the
guy. Things like that, yeah. But,
I witnessed it.
Yeah, I know. I'm not a Rebbe. I don't know.
My wife was in labor. We went in, we were discharged, we were waiting, and we saw Hasidim leave. We're all leaving. Like, yeah. We were shocked.
I don't know. I don't know. So they quote in the Yalkut Yosef in Shin Chav Ches, the children quote Rav Agi Yosef, who allows taking prepared medicine on Yantif. He says, it's Machlokas HaPoskim. We're dealing with a Din Darabanan. It's a Machlokas whether medicine should be usher at all. So he says that by Yantif you're allowed to take the medicine. The Sitz Eliezer writes in Chelech Ches, one who feel they need to take medicine on Yantif, but makom michush v'tzar, they have a case of tzar, and they're not so sick, he says, I'll allow them to rely on it. But the consensus of most folks is that Yantif is the same at the end of the day. Okay, taking pain relievers on Shabbos. What do we say? Acetaminophen, Advil, things like that. So is that a refuah? That's the shaila. Is that a refuah? Am I curing something, or is there a difference between removing pain? That's the chakir they want to say. So this was discussed, I saw, there's an old Hungarian Torah journal called the Tal Talpios, 1925. A question was asked regarding taking soda bicarbonate for heartburn. That was the question. Can I remove, I'm not curing the heartburn, I'm removing the pain of the heartburn. That's what they wanted to say. So the Tzitz Eliezer says that pain relievers are not refuas, and therefore there's more room to allow them on Shabbos. So all these sveikos combined, says the Tzitz Eliezer, Advil's fine. However, the Tzitz Eliezer seems to be alone. The Osnibaruv Benjamin Zilber writes in Chelek Aleph, there's no difference between taking a curative medicine and taking a pain reliever when it comes to the gzeira of medicine on Shabbos. This is the sheet of the Shemir Shabbos Kilchas, Perek Lamadal. Rav Leo Falk, who's the posik in Gateshead, writes in the Torah journal called Torah in journal number 61, Rabbi Ribiat 39 Malachos, page 487, the Nishma Shabbos Rav Harfinus. They all say that that there's no difference between pain relief and taking a refuah. However, perhaps this is another sniff, lahakal, if need be. So we have so many machlokas over here. We see that there's a person really, really feels the need to. A person's in pain. They don't know. Maybe it's a choshem or sakan. It's just pain relief. You know, all these things like that. We see there's more and more leniencies available at the end of the day. And the last question in this category, the last point is that Rav Menashe Klein writes in the Mishnah Halachos in the Chelek Aleph, and I also saw Rav Yitzhak Abadi write in his Or Yitzhak in Chelek Aleph as well, and Rav Harfinus in his Mishnah Shabbos, that by Bein Hashmashos, you can take medicine without question as well. It's a Dirabanan by Bein Hashmashos for a Tzorach
Gadol. Friday or Shabbos?
What? Bein Hashmashos Friday. Bein Hashmashos Friday. It's good to clarify that. Bein Hashmashos Friday. So, person, whatever it is, a person has a headache, whatever it is, a person wants to take a medicine, you're still within that, you know, half-hour time slot for Bein Hashmashos, so then that's a good time to take the medicine as well. Especially when it comes to questions of, you know, antibiotics, and we'll discuss the issue of, you know, keeping up the regimen if it's going to come back, but if you could, just has to be 24 hours, so take it Bein Hashmashos, and then take it the end of Shabbos, and you'll hopefully still be within the recommended guidelines. Okay. The next question is about congestion, relieving congestion on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses in Shin Chav Ches Beis taking an eye ointment that's not there to cure the eye problem, but the person's eyes are shut. I don't know what the medical situation is, but the person's eyes are sealed shut, so to speak, he can't open them. But if you put something on them, what?
You have like a conjunctivitis, like an infection, just...
And they can't...
Whatever dried out there, yeah.
They can't open the eye. So the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to put something on it to open the eye. You're not curing it. You just want the eye to be open, relieving a congestion, relieving something that normally should open and close, says the Shulchan Aruch, is fine. And this is what the Bach writes and the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah. There's a similar discussion. This is really not such. It's just you could give a whole shiur on blowing your nose on Shabbos. There's like five different malachos involved when you blow your nose on Shabbos. We're making in all cases because we do blow our nose. But there is a question, is that considered a refuah? You're just opening up the nasal passage. It could be that there's an issue of gozes, borer, memachek, schita, muktza, all different shots that come with blowing the nose. But perhaps a shiur for another time. It's not so exciting because you know what the maskana is. But there's at least five different issues. You think the most simple medical thing on Shabbos of blowing the nose is the one that has the most complicated issues. But we allow blowing the nose. However, the question is, what about taking nasal inhalants or breathing in Vicks on Shabbos? Is that a refuah? Or am I simply clearing up the passage that is supposed to work by itself? So this is important. Vicks was created in 1890. I had to Google this. Vicks was created in 1890. This is important. Because the Ber Moshe writes in the Chelek Aleph and Lamed Gimel, but there's no issue. Because your intention is simply to open up the access to the nasal passage. I'm not fixing it. I'm just allowing air to come in. And this is also the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach on the Shulchan Shlomo. The Ketzos HaShulchan, Rav Chaim Na, so he says that it's usher to inhale Vicks. And he writes Vicks in Hebrew. I thought that was strange because I didn't realize Vicks was around 1920s. And then I saw that Vicks was invented in 1890. And obviously, Vicks had made its way to Eretz Yisrael by that time. Cold symptoms, he says, it's usher though. Because removing the cold symptoms is usher. That's a refuah. And even if it's for 5 minutes, it's a refuah for those 5 minutes, he says. You can't use Vicks. What?
Pain relief.
Yeah. So Rabbi Bodner writes, he also wants to add on to the issue. He says that Vicks contains medications. I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe different types of Vicks. I don't know. But it contains medication, and that compounds the issue itself. But I guess maybe just to breathe it. If you're not going to apply it, just to breathe it, I think there's more than enough to rely on in that case as well. There is a question sometimes, can a person refill a humidifier on Shabbos? The humidifier is running low. You want to have it for that later that day. So there is a lot of room to allow. If you can refill the humidifier without taking it off the base and causing the lights to change, I know some humidifiers run this way, you can refill it in such a way as well.
But there are two kinds of humidifiers, the coolness humidifiers and the steam humidifiers.
Correct. If it's going to boil, though, if it's going to heat up the water, then it would be a problem. But if it's a cool one, then that would be okay as well. Okay, let's move on now to mixing medicines into food, because that is a very important leniency, if need be, to prepare the food before Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos Kufches Amin Beis says that one may soak this eye ointment from Erev Shabbos and put them on the eyes on Shabbos. And it's not a refuah b'Shabbos. The problem is the Gemara in Shabbos Yudches says that you can place eye kilor, this eye ointment on the eye, and a bandage with this type of cream on the wound on Erev Shabbos, and the wound can continuously heal all day long on Shabbos. So the one seems to say that you can do it on Shabbos, and the other Gemara seems to say you can do it before Shabbos. So there's a machlokus regarding how do you deal with the Gemaras. The Rush says there's a difference in the types of ointments. Tosas says there's issue of tainig. One is doing it for pleasure versus refuah. But we care about the Tosas Yishanim. The Tosas Yishanim says that if you hide the ointment in something else, then it's allowed. But if it's just the ointment, then it's refuah b'Shabbos. That's important. So based on this, can a person take a medicine? A person needs to take a pill. Can they mix it? Certainly not on Shabbos. Everybody agrees you can't do this on Shabbos. Can you take the pill, put it into applesauce or something before Shabbos, leave it there, and then take it Shabbos day and just eat the applesauce? And then we've gotten out of the issue. I'm not taking this medicine on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Rav Chaim Chelik Beis and Simon Pei Vav, and he repeats this in Chelik Gimel. He's actually writing a letter to Rav Shlomo Miller, who is the Rosh Kol in Toronto. This is a younger Rav Shlomo Miller. So he writes to Rav Shlomo Miller, and Rav Miller wanted to allow mixing medicines into food on Shabbos because there's a hecker. I'm creating a sign to know that this is different. I'm doing it in a weird way. It's a shinoi, so to speak. I'm reminding myself that I'm not taking regular medicine on Shabbos, and therefore the gzeirah shouldn't apply, like the case of the kilor, the eye ointment. So Rav Moshe says that if you allow mixing the medicine into food, it will lead people to take the medicine without food on Shabbos. The person will say, last year I had to take this heart medication, whatever it was, and I did it before Shabbos, and now, whatever, it's the same thing, in food, not in food, with a pill, what's the difference, says Rav Moshe? Person's going to forget. The case of the kilorin is different, and this is the Rav Moshe's key. If you do something that's required in the preparation of the medicine before Shabbos, meaning the medicine can't work unless you do preparation A, and then it will work, says Rav Moshe, that's a hecker. But simply to take the pill and mush it into applesauce and ice cream is not a hecker. I'm simply taking the medicine and moving it from point A to point B. But I'm not doing anything to the medicine, says Rav Moshe. And therefore he says it is not allowed as well. And this is the opinion of Rav Karp, the Talmud Rav Yashem, Hilcha Shabbos B'Shabbos, the Avnei Yashba, as well.
So patients on dialysis.
Yeah.
There are certain things that dialysis can't clean from the body. One example is something called phosphorus. Phosphorus is in all the food that we eat. Phosphorus can build up in the body, can cause heart problems, can cause bone problems. When they eat, they specifically take pills to bind the phosphorus in the intestine so it doesn't get absorbed into the body. So they specifically take this with food.
Yeah.
So this is something that, should they maybe...
Prepare it before
Shabbos, like mix it with the food. In fact, I had this one lady from Eretz Yisrael who came through dialysis here recently, and they use a slightly different version of the medication there. And I'm watching her eat her lunch. She opens up this little package, she sprinkles it on, she eats her lunch. She took the powder and she put it on her salad.
Aren't these people not a Chol HaShem B'Sakana anyway?
No, they're all. I mean, Chol HaShem B'Sakana certainly. But the question is,
Is it a better way to do it? I hear this would definitely be a shinui, 100%. According to those who need a shinui for choshen or sakana, well, we've only seen Rav Moshe say it's asr. Let's go to those who say it's mutter first, okay? So Rav Moshe says it's asr to do this, to mix in before. However, Udayan Weiss, the Minchas Tzitzak Reis in Chelik Vav, he says there's room to allow mixing medicine into food on Shabbos, but it has to be done Erev Shabbos. And the Shmir Shabbos cites Rav Shlomo Zalman, who says that the Gemara about the Kilor is a clear example of using a shina to allow medicine in the food of Shabbos. He says, what's Rav Moshe talking about? He says, Ein mistaber klal divrei egros Moshe. That's what Shlomo Zalman says. He says, I don't know what Rav Moshe is talking about. The Gemara is a prime example of mixing something and something else before Shabbos. This is the opinion of the Be'er Moshe and the Chodshanimus and Karelis, who says you mix it in such a way that a healthy person wouldn't know the difference, that it was there. Rav Israel Orbach, Rosh Hashanah Zaman's son, the Atar Shlomo, says that the Gemara seems to indicate the Kilo would be used without water, as well against Rav Moshe, and Rav Harfenis, and the Rabbi Ribiat, and the Orcho Shabbos all say this can be relied upon as well. So, certainly it's a good shino. If a person needs to take, again, we have how many sniffle coolers do we have so far? We have like 5 or 6, right? A person is unsure of the rechola. If you mix it in before Shabbos, with all the other leniencies, certainly you have what's relying as well. So that's a good cool to know, to take the medicine, mix it into food, put it in the fridge, and take it before Shabbos. Certainly a shuni for someone who's a chol shem b'sakana, to prepare the foods before Shabbos as well. There you go.
There's a concept of before, and there's medication.
Yeah.
Those are two separate concepts, correct?
Correct.
Right? Medicine is an issue because of the takana that was.
Yeah.
So the concept of ointments, though.
Yeah.
Does it still fall under refuah?
All refuah. Rashi writes that all refuah.
Doesn't come from being crafty.
Correct. Rashi says all refuah is part of the gzeirah. And even if it's not taking medication, anything that is merapa the person falls under.
In the category of the original
takana. Correct.
Interesting.
Okay, yeah.
Doesn't the Shulchan Aruch also talk, it talks about putting ointments on and like massages and stuff.
Correct, because it's going to have to say that it's not a refuah, or things like that, 100%. Okay, the last, thing we'll discuss this evening is protective medications. Medication that we use to cut off the possibility of something becoming sick, something like that. So the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Chav Ches, Chav Gimel, Chav Dalet, Chav Zayin discusses using items that protect a wound. The wound is healing, and I'm going to cover it up so it does not become worse. He says these things are fine. The Magen Avraham and the Mishabur and Sifkatan Pei Vav explain that once the area is already healed, we're not concerned about the person's nervousness is going to lead them to grind anything, because the person's already on the mend. If the person's not a chol anymore, they're not going to be so concerned, they're not going to be so nervous. And in Chaf Gil, he talks about wrapping with certain things, but that's what Shlomo Zalman says, those things don't apply nowadays. So what things does this apply to? I'll give you some obvious ones. Rav Nevensol writes in his Mishnah Berurah, there's no problem putting on insect repellent. I'm saving, it's... I'm going to save myself from getting having a michush, having a pain from a mosquito. That's not considered an issue. Sunblock is not a problem. Obviously, a spray would be a spray, not a cream.
You can do it on Shabbos.
What?
You can put
sunblock on Shabbos, yeah. He says it's not, it's preventative.
Yeah.
It's preventative in these cases. And Rai Baner, Ksosa Shochan,
also
the same thing.
It's a
very liquid.
Gets
they do make some.
Absorbed also.
Yeah, we actually in our house we have a sunblock that is a very more liquidy type of thing as well. Usually we rely on Rav Moshe's definition of the liquid soap. Rav Moshe didn't allow liquid soap. We most people do allow liquid soap on Shabbos. If it flows faster than liquid soap, we generally allow it. That's generally the good.
Aren't there also some creams that if they get completely absorbed if you rub them?
Yeah, but the issue is
they don't leave residue.
So that's they have to discuss that's a machlokas of how to apply that as well. 100%. We'll probably discuss that maybe
sure,
in a later stage. Yes,
100%.
Okay, taking a daily medication to prevent an illness that's dormant from coming back. So the Shmir Shabbos in Lamed Dalet says that you can take a regimen of pills on Shabbos. Even if the illness is not present, but it can return if you don't finish the job.
So this is an illness that would not be sakana.
Correct, yeah.
Because if it's something that would be a sakana, you wouldn't even need to say that.
100%, for sure.
Getting an antibiotic regimen.
Antibiotic, yeah. If a person doesn't want to get strep, a person doesn't want to, whatever it is, the strep's already gone, you don't want it to come back, you have to take it, because you don't want it to come back. Okay, I'm sure we've all gone back to the doctor with our children because we missed a dose and the strep came back. So you got to make sure we get the doses in. Rav Eliyahu Falk writes in that article that a person who gets hay fever, seasonal allergies, can take medicine in the morning before the symptoms hit because you're preventing the allergies from coming at that time. Rav Binyamin Zilber in the Oz Nidru argues, he says there's no difference between medicine for refuah and taking medicine to prevent pain. And therefore, you know, people take daily aspirins, things like that, assuming the person doesn't have a serious heart condition. But people take daily aspirins, things like that, he would have not allowed it. I think the opinion of most poskim is allowed in Shmir Shabbos. If there's nothing there and you're preventing someone from coming, it is allowed. Similarly, Rabbi Ribiat writes, you can take Tums or other antacids if you anticipate that you're going to suffer heartburn after eating.
A good chalm,
there you go. You can take, you know, Malox after the Suda to prevent indigestion. The Maharam Brisk, he's writing over 100 years ago, 200 years ago, he talks about taking soda bicarbonate before the meal. Take an Alka-Seltzer and before the meal, and that can be worked as well in those cases. I couldn't think, before we were talking about medicines that require putting it in something else to prepare it. The only thing I think of is Alka-Seltzer, where you need, like Rav Moshe's hetzer of only using a medicine that requires you to do A before it, before you take it in the consumption of the medicine. I couldn't think of anything else.
Miralax,
you have to.
Zegerid, and it comes as a powder.
Yeah, and it mixed in something else.
Powder, so you mix in water.
Yeah. So all those things could be paired before Shabbos, according to Rav Moshe, meaning even the more machmir opinion. Something that the medicine needs its preparation could be done before Shabbos.
So should you do that if you're in that massive? Assume you can plan for it, you know.
Yeah.
You need it, so it's preferable to prepare it before Shabbos.
If you can, yeah. If you didn't, you still have to take it anyway, if it's Rechal Hashem or Sakana. But if you can prepare, then that's the best thing to do. What about preventing infection? Applying iodine, hydrogen peroxide, alcohol, things like that. Bestatracin as well.
Our infectious disease doctor allows this?
Yeah. So the Shmir Shabbos and Perek Lamed Hei cites Rosh Shlomo Zalman, who says it's no different than taking preventive medicine. Preventing infection is the same thing as taking preventive medicine, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman. And this is also the Shita of Nishma Shabbos, Rav Harfenis, Rav Simcha Ben Cohen, in his book Children Halacha, explains that iodine and hydrogen peroxide are used to stop bleeding, and therefore those things can be used as well. And bestatracin on cuts, obviously in a permissible mimareach way, there's a way to dab and to do those things as well. Those are makil. However, I saw that Rav Ben Sion Abba Shaul in the Or Letzion and Rav Al Yashiv in the Orach HaShabbos in the Oz Nidberu and all feel that preventing infection is a form of refuah, and therefore these things cannot be used. Orach HaShabbos is a long piece about iodine. a long, long piece about iodine, and he says that it stops the bleeding, but it's also misrata.
What about antibacterial soap?
Antibacterial soap. Does it even work?
Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan.
I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. I put on the sign here. This is a whole shiur in itself that I have a shiur online about. You can listen to it. About taking Khaled Som. About taking those medicines I sell in Eretz Yisrael to help with the fast. This year it's applicable because Erev Tishah B'Av is Shabbos. So can you take those on Shabbos? So, but Ayin Sham, that's a whole, another half hour you're going to go through right now. So the, but other things that come up in this regard, Rav Aaron Felder, who we were talking about before, so he writes in the Shumei Aaron in Chelik Beis that Rav Moshe allowed applying an ace bandage to hold a limb in place. It's not a refua. It's preventative of something, you know, coming out of place. Rav Simcha Ben Cohen says you can take medication to prevent a sore throat. A person's going on safari, they need to take a regimen of malaria pills before. That would also be a hetzer because it's preventative.
If you're going on vacation.
If you're going on vacation, so it's preventative in that way. The person's not a chola right now as well. And then also, sometimes this happens, a pregnant woman wants to know if she can take Dramamine or anti-nausea pill before the meal. When she eats, it makes her miserable. But if she takes the Dramamine before, something like anti-nausea before, it helps. So that's also another case of preventative where we could make in such a case as well.
How about Purell?
Almost
preventative, but to the next level.
I'm saying it is preventative. It's preventative, right. Yeah. So we definitely have what to rely on in all these cases. Again, we have, tonight we saw 7-8 different ways to be make it. Everything is a machloka. So in most cases, if it's something that's preventative, a person is a suffix of the rochola, if they're not, whatever it is, we can find leniencies in these cases if necessary. If the person, again, if the person's on the border of a choshen v'sakana, they're not sure how they're feeling, they do have to lie down, they don't have to lie down, whatever it may be, we find many, many areas where we can push them over the goal line to sell them, that we can help them out in these cases on Shabbos.
Those medicines should be taken, sorry.
Yeah.
Machine oil, ideally.
By a cholesh, ideally a cholesh and a sakana takes bishinoi. That's ideally.
What's a shinoi?
What is a shinoi? So we'll have to, perhaps that'll be the next, if we do this again, we'll see. But certainly mixing into food, things like that, those are things that are good
shinoi. Cardiologists, by the way, now agree with the osnivora.
Not to take the aspirin. Don't take aspirin.
Yeah,
there you go.
The new studies.
Yeah. Yeah. Aspirin's not good. Okay.
I haven't
read
this
study,
so.
Yeah.
I think there was something this week.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
If it's straight, real preventative.
Right.
No
cardiac
perspective, just family history.
Right.